And I hope you enjoyed us to take us into our message today. It continues with the song of a different version of Dem Bones.
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy is whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory.
Well, at this point, you should be pretty much aware that our theme for today is dry bones. And doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while, I like to make my talks interactive. So today I have three questions, all of which are related to the talk. And when we go into the open session after the service, we'll see who can answer them. The first one is, what do you call an atheist bone? What do you call an atheist bone? And the second question is, what is a skeleton's favorite instrument? And the third one is, what does a skeleton say before dining? Now, I really want you to listen to the message and not spend time thinking about those things, okay? Or cheating by going on the internet to find out the answer. Okay, we'll have fun with it maybe a little bit later when we open the session up. Today we're talking about the prophet Ezekiel, one of the major prophets in the Hebrew scriptures. And when it comes to Hebrew prophets, you often hear about Isaiah and Jeremiah, not so much about Ezekiel, despite the fact that he was a major player whose influence arguably can be seen even now in the year 2021. I do not in any way wish to be disparaging of him, but honestly, if someone today did some of the things that Ezekiel did, you probably would think that he was an absolute nut job, an absolute loony bird. Archbishop John Shelby Spong referred to him as a psychiatrist's delight. And at the very least, I think that the book of Ezekiel would make a heck of a series on Netflix or Prime Video. Let me share with you just a few things about Ezekiel that can be found in the book of Ezekiel. His story starts out with a really strange vision. It is a vision of the Lord surrounded by four very weird, grotesque-looking creatures. Soon after that, Ezekiel eats a scroll that was given to him. And when you think of a prophet, you think of someone who goes forth and speaks the word of God to others, right? Well, initially, Ezekiel couldn't speak. He was muted by God. So instead, he took to drawing, depicting an image of Jerusalem under siege on a clay tablet. Then he lay down on his side with an iron pan separating him from his clay art. And he stayed that way for 390 days. And after those days passed, what does he do? Ezekiel rolls over and repeats this action for another 40 days. Well, when all of that was done, Ezekiel went on a new diet of barley cakes baked over cow manure. Yes, that's what I said. A diet of barley cakes baked over cow manure. I have no idea how many points those barley cakes would be given by Weight Watchers, but it sure as heck would inspire me to lose a lot of weight. Then Ezekiel uses a sword, not a scissors or a razor, but a sword to shave off his beard. I'm thinking there has to be a seed here for a really good Norelco commercial in all of this. Anyway, he divides his hairs into thirds. He sets one third on fire. He scattered another third around the city and stabbed it with his sword. He threw the remaining third into the wind. He did save a few hairs, which he sewed into his clothing, but later on ended up burning some of those hairs too. Little later on, I think about chapter 6, Ezekiel's ability to speak returns. But the weird stuff doesn't end there. He prophesies against a mountain. And a few chapters later in the book of Ezekiel, takes on an R rating, as Ezekiel describes in a fair amount of detail the sexual activities of a couple of sisters who were prostitutes. And near the end, he has another vision, and this time prophesies over a valley of dry bones. He has a captive audience, and he shares with that audience his vision of the bones coming to life. Well, already we have enough going on here to cover not just a Sunday morning message, but probably a 3 to 4 week class. But let's look at a couple of things that really stand out. There's no question that whether you're using modern-day metrics or standards of 1,600 years ago, there was a lot about Ezekiel that was really strange. And as normal as you or I might regard ourselves, we have things about ourselves that we think are really pretty weird if we're honest about it. We all have our little idiosyncrasies. I mean, I sing in the shower all the time. I know that's not so weird, but I have this thing. I have to change the words when I sing. I stay with the same rhyme most of the time, but I try to come up with words on the fly, substitute words or phrases just for the purpose of trying to crack myself up. As I said, we all have these little self-observed weirdness things, idiosyncrasies. And maybe some of them are not so little in our minds. We have these strange fears or superstitions that can cause some pretty strange behavior. But what the story of this prophet Ezekiel tells us is it doesn't matter. However strange we may think of ourselves, however weird we may picture ourselves, however weak or minor or insecure we might think of ourselves because of our addictions or our habits. And much of what we think of ourselves, usually as a result of what the world thinks, we are called, all of us, are chosen to prophesy, to manifest the word of God in the world. And if we are handicapped in some way, like being unable to find our voice, get creative. Draw pictures if you have to. Make weird faces if you have to. Sing if you have to. Sell your most prized possession if you have to. Do whatever to fulfill your personal ministry, your divine contract in your lifetime. Secondly, as bizarre as the things were that Ezekiel did, for the most part, he did them because God told him to do them. But as strange as they were, he was open and receptive to what Spirit told him to do, regardless of how insane it might have seemed to him. There are examples of people doing things out of the blue in real life. Andrea Yeager, as a teenager, 16 years old, was a top-ranked tennis player, number 2 in the world. And then she started to do strange things, like make hospital visits to people in cities where tournaments were held. And eventually, she would give away much of her prize money and her tennis career. She ended up entering a convent and became a nun, much to the shock, not just to the tennis world, but to the world in general. In a world in which love and human life are so undervalued, the things that we are called to do might seem pretty strange. In these times when we're so afraid for our personal being, who does something like take in total strangers, feed them, and give them a place to sleep? Well, not many for sure. But there are some who do this. Who walks into a hospital out of the blue and donates a much-needed kidney to a stranger who's at risk of dying without it? It happens. Not often, but it happens. And who tries to intervene in an altercation to try to restore peace between strangers who are squabbling, and gets stabbed to death for his efforts. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. It was in the news. Who forgives somebody who abused them as a child? It may be rare, but it does happen. It is perfectly understandable to hear or feel what we are called to do or be and respond by saying, "Come on, God, you can't be serious." Or, "Lord, you got to be kidding me." But membership in the kingdom requires us first to be open to hear or intuit whatever it is that is being asked by Spirit, and then say yes, regardless of how silly, stupid, difficult, insane, or inconvenient it may seem at the time. When I was at Unity of Northwest as a congregant, there was a fellow congregant, a very active congregant, a really good friend who one day announced to us in the men's group that he was leaving Unity of Northwest. Not to retire or do something pleasant like brunch every Sunday. He felt called to help out on Sundays in a very poor church on Chicago's west side. And he's still there. The only white member of that church community. And he's doing what he was called to do. Some of the metaphysics of the Ezekiel story are fascinating. He is told to eat a scroll, and he does. Well, you know, they say we are what we eat. Ezekiel isn't just asked to hear the message that he is to deliver. By being asked to eat and digest the scroll, God is asking him to internalize the message, to have it become so integrated, a very part of who he was. And the vision that Ezekiel sees of God, surrounded by really weird-looking, grotesque creatures, is very, very telling. You know, all of the artwork and everything else, and so many people tend to picture God surrounded by angels and white clouds. But God can be found. God can be realized. God can be seen, even in the midst of the ugly. Wherever we are, God is, right? In the middle of war, in the middle of gangland shootings, in hospice rooms, in the middle of earthquakes and famines and all kinds of human tragedies, if we are open and receptive, we can see God. And in the middle of whatever we might see in ourselves as grotesque or unpleasing or lacking or ugly, well, guess what? God is there. If you hear any message today at all, hear that one. Be open to the divine, to the God that resides within you. God had a purpose in muting Ezekiel. In effect, God was telling Ezekiel, find a way. Make it happen. Don't come up with reasons why you can't do something. Come up with reasons why you can do them. Use what you have. Be who you are to do what you have to do. Despite any and all appearances to the contrary, you have it in you to get done what you need to do. Be silly. Draw pictures. Dance. Smile. whatever. You are so much more than your so-called limitations. And all of the other craziness, the cutting of his beard and that diet of barley dung cakes, it's all part of a spiritual discipline. It drives home a point that is valid for each and every one of us. Get involved. Establish a daily regimen that reminds you, keeps you focused on the truth that your life has to be purposeful and not just about going through the motions. You know, I really have to share with you, for that most of my adult life, I used to ridicule and poo-poo saying the rosary. Along with that, I was judgmental against people who prayed the rosary. And praying the rosary still is not my cup of tea, but you know what? I have a deep respect for people who actively and fervently do something that has an eye toward the presence of God, of spirit, in which we are all immersed. And I could think of a lot worse disciplines, such as eating barley cow dung cakes. Ezekiel was a prophet, different in another way. The message of most prophets was that if you don't change your ways, things are going to go bad. Things are going to go to hell for you. But Ezekiel's message was more of, if you want to get out of the hell that you are living, you have to change what you are about. Very practical and very unity, by the way. Ezekiel's message was to the Israelites who were held captive by the Babylonians. And at that time, there was a consciousness among the Israelites that the faith that they were living was because of the sins of their ancestors. And Ezekiel sent a clear message to them. Get over it and get on with it. It's time to let that go. You are not experiencing what you are experiencing because of what anybody before you did, but because you have settled in to living the life that you live. For over 2 millennia, we have bought into the myth that we have to suffer because Adam and Eve ate that stupid apple. Closer to home, we really have perfected the art of blaming everyone else, blaming our troubles at our government leaders, our schools, and especially our parents. I mean, isn't it time to quit pinning everything on mom? Without a doubt, we've been dealt a lot of bad cards, including things like sickness and abuse. And just as the Babylonians held the Israelites captive, those bad things, all of them, and the hurts that we have suffered, they just really try to hold on and to hold us captive. Ezekiel's words are clear. If you don't like the life you are living, raise yourself up, lift yourselves up, do something about it. A significant part of Ezekiel's mission was to separate the Israelites from the culture of their capturers and reestablish a true sense of Jewish identity and exclusivity. And it's not a type of exclusivity of barring other people. God had Ezekiel preach this message because the consciousness of the Israelites as God's chosen people was morphing into an identity in which they were being swallowed up and consumed by a consciousness in which their sense of being chosen, of being special, was being diluted and dissolving. And so the exclusivity that was being sought here was a return to an awareness of their value, of their worth in the eyes of God. And given the way culture acts upon us today, you know, I think this is a valuable message for all of us to develop that sense of exclusivity in terms of being really privileged to be a beloved son or daughter of the Father. And so Ezekiel called out to the people and restored a sense of the law and insisted upon returning to basic rituals like being circumcised. And the magic of these practices wasn't in the rituals themselves, but of the consciousness that they restored. Ezekiel's message was so effective that Judaism was able to survive. And it survived things like the Holocaust and over 1,800 years of being a nation without a square inch of land, without having a physical nation. And by the way, let me just deviate for a moment here. This might be a good time to mention. Mary had sent me a text, and it was really a good idea that given what's going on today between Israel and the Palestinians, this would be a good time to hold all of those people in prayer. But this message from Ezekiel is alive for all of us today. Are we losing sight of who we are? Are we buying into a 21st century culture that does not acknowledge and teach and respect that every one of us is a child of God? Is our divine heritage and our incredibly blessed humanity just being swallowed up by a world that's becoming cold and lacking in compassion? If we feel this in any way, are we just shrugging and saying, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I don't see anything we can do about it. I'm not an expert on fate or exactly what it is or it's supposed to be, but I know this much. Whatever it is that you accept or sit still for, that becomes your fate. And it doesn't happen by default. You have made a decision. I also, of course, want to talk about Ezekiel's vision that he shared in the midst of dry bones. That part of the scripture was the inspiration for the song, Dem Bones, which was part of the video that was played at the beginning of our service today. Dry bones. Talk about an ultimate symbol of death. And we're talking dead here. Not just kind of dead or almost dead or half dead, but dead. In his vision, Ezekiel sees these dead, separated bones coming together and reconnecting. And he sees the winds of spirit passing over them and restoring them back to life. It's kind of a early gospel. It's the good news message that despite what you may be thinking or feeling, all things are possible in God, and it is never, ever too late. Ezekiel's dry bones vision is a perfect vision to hold anytime you may be looking at something that you want as out of reach, or a ship that has sailed. The message here is that you are capable of a full, purposeful meaningful, joyful life, regardless of what may have been pounded into you, and regardless of how many wrinkles may be on your face, and regardless what self-perceived handicaps or drawbacks that you might see in yourself, regardless of what habits or addictions may seem to have a hold on you, regardless of how dry you may think your bones are, literally or figuratively, you are not dead, or at least not unless you choose to be. So look beyond what your eyes see in the world, and look beyond what you see in the mirror. Look beyond instead to the vision that God holds for you, to the vision that God calls out to you to realize, because it's the only one that matters. It's the only one that brings with it that promise of them bones coming together and a new life for all of us. And so with that, we move now to prayer and meditation.